is the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Melissa Griffin, Executive Director here at the Arts Center. In this podcast, we discuss how art and life blend. Today's guest is Dusty Cooper, a photographer and videographer. I'm excited to have Dusty kicking off the 2022 exhibition schedule with his photography exhibit, Copiosity, in the Mezzanine Gallery. That's upstairs here at the Hammond Regional Arts Center. Hi, Dusty. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for being here to talk with us.
Thanks for having me.
We are going to talk at length about your history in the arts, but first I wanted to talk specifically about this exhibit. It's on display here at the Arts Center from January 21st through February 17th. It's what you've called a detailed study of the natural world. It's a variety of nature photographs from skulls and insects to vast landscapes. But it's not really the subject matter, I think. I mean, it is the subject matter, but it's not the subject matter that makes the story. It's really the process that you take to get these particular shots. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there are many layers to the process and the reasoning behind the process. It's been kind of difficult to explain to people. It's hard for them to kind of see the vision and the finished product when I try to explain what I do. But so the process involves me taking 40 to 50 images of one scene.
So you take 40 to 50 pictures in order to get one picture.
One picture, yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so the process is 40 to 50 images of one scene. So part of the process is trying to visualize what the end product is going to look like, mm-hmm. Which is kind of complicated to do. But I've kind of learned over I've probably done 100 scenes so far.
Wow.
That I've kind of learned the best way to start with the first, where to put the camera for the first image. The reason I do this is there's multiple reasons, but one, I love shallow depth of field mm-hmm. in an image, but I also really like detail.
Right.
And I love art that is large on the wall.
Like large scale.
Yeah, large right. scale. I think part of photography is capturing a moment in time and putting the viewer in that moment. And so mm-hmm. having something really large really achieves that goal.
And so when you're actually doing this in nature, there's a lot of elements that come into play, like lighting or bugs or birds or other.
Lighting is the biggest challenge. Quite a few of the ones I've taken are towards sunset. So the light changes really quick mm-hmm. At sunset. So getting 40 to 50 images of one scene with the same lighting, it takes discipline and quick movements, but I wouldn't say that I've mastered it yet, but I'm getting there.
So how long does it take you to shoot one of these photographs? And they end up being sort of like a panoramic view a lot of times, right?
Yeah, most of them end up being longer mm-hmm. longer and short as far as height. I've been trying to learn how to take a more square version rather than the long and skinny panoramic. But yeah, so clouds also play kind of the villain.
I hadn't really considered.
Yeah, so if I don't capture the clouds quickly and it's a windy day, then there's inconsistencies in the way it stitches all together. So,
right.
Yeah.
You might have your clouds like piling up on one side of of the photo.
Exactly.
So I mean, you have to move quickly because of the lighting and because of the elements of the photograph, including the clouds. You have to move with such attention to detail, though, as well, because you can't have gaps.
Right.
In these, when you go to layer them and stitch them together, it really is like sewing. When you go to stitch them together, they have to be perfect.
They have to be perfect. Yeah, you can't miss even an inch of a scene, or it's going to mess up the entire photo.
Have you ever bumped the tripod?
I've never bumped the tripod.
Wow, I'm impressed.
I've never bumped the tripod, but I've definitely stitch a photo together and notice that there's a big gap, and it's somehow right in the middle of the photo. So somehow,
right.
In my quickness to capture a scene, I misjudged a photo. So yeah.
And so at that point, you're already home. You're on your computer. It's too late.
Yeah, it's
right?
done. Yeah. So there are ways to manipulate to fill in those gaps, but since these are supposed to be printed large scale, it's very difficult to make it look real.
Sure, absolutely. So some of the ones that are going to be here at the Art Center in your exhibit will be printed on metal.
Yes.
Which gives them this vibrancy that you don't see in a lot of photographs. So that's really cool. What are some of the sizes?
So the largest, I guess, is 30 by 40. But I also have a couple that are 20 by 45.
So these are big.
They're big. Yeah. So I think I have five that are going to be really large scale.
And these are for sale, right?
These are for sale.
So these would make great pieces for those, you know, those places in your house where you're like, I just don't know what to do right here.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think this is a cool show. It's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I've already had the pleasure of viewing some of the images, but when they're large scale and they're on the metallic paper or they're printed on metal, it's going to be really awesome. So let's talk a little bit more about your history. Let's go back in time for a bit. Do you remember your first planned photograph?
I do. So my dad gave me his 35 millimeter camera probably when I was like 9, and I played around with it. I didn't really know what I was doing.
Right.
Learning how to, I mean, this, you know, this is way before anything had automatic focus,
mm-hmm.
Or even any kind of automatic metering. So it was, most of the photos I took were very bad.
Those cameras were tough.
Yeah, they were rough. But I remember, I don't know why, I just had this idea of bubbles rising to the surface from the bottom of my pool. And so I begged my parents to get me one of those disposable underwater cameras.
Yeah.
And I got it and swam down to the bottom of the pool, let out all the air, and snapped a photo. And I think I did it probably like 2 or 3 times. And got them printed, and it was exactly what I wanted. I wouldn't say now that it's a great photo, but back then it was exactly what I was trying to achieve. So.
Sure, absolutely. So did you know then that photography or videography or this kind of process was a calling of yours, or was it like, oh, that's cool, you know, and you go on about your day?
I was always exploring art. I definitely didn't know anything about my future back then. Like I didn't know what I wanted to be. I probably still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. But I was a dancer. I loved photography. I loved painting. I loved sculpture even. I loved writing. So I think I was just exploring and just I like to create. I think that's the most important part of my life, is that I like to create things.
Sure. So you were a creative kid then?
Yeah.
I mean, back as a kid, you were just doing what you could.
Creative kid, weird kid, you know, whatever. they go hand in hand sometimes.
So in your photography work in particular, have you ever doubted yourself? Have you made contingency plans? Okay, what if this doesn't work out? Then I'm going to join the circus or something?
Oh, absolutely. So I moved to New York when I was 25, and I was pursuing fashion photography up there, and I was doing okay for a little while, and then I realized that it wasn't really the world for me. The people in the fashion industry are not always the nicest people, and coming from small town Pachula, it was kind of a rude awakening.
That's because they're tired and they're hungry. They're hangry.
Yeah, I understand that. I was in New York, and then I'd never gotten my college degree, and I had a friend who was 46, and she had a really good job at ABC. She had this gorgeous apartment in New York, and she was like, I never went to college, and she was making a lot of money, but she just wasn't happy.
Mm-hmm.
And at 46, she quit her job, sold her apartment, moved into a little studio, and went to college.
Wow.
And I was 27 at the time, and I was like, well, if she can do it at 46, then I can do it now. So I decided to move back to Louisiana and go to Southeastern.
And so was the pursuit photography then?
So no, the pursuit then was writing, which, just like photography and video and dance and everything else, it was always part of my life when I was younger. But then I kind of started taking it a little bit more seriously.
So how did you get from taking a picture at the bottom of your parents' pool to shooting fashion photographs in New York. Where was the learning process there?
Man, I don't even know. it was just...
was it like an internship, a mentorship? So
where I am today is because of the influences of many, many people. When I graduated from high school, I worked with Barbie Vallow in Ponchatoula. She's a she was a great photographer, still is. I worked with Johnny Chauvin, but I started working at Lakeside Camera in Mandeville. And I worked there for about 3 years, and I would say I learned a lot there. When I was, when you're selling cameras, you learn a lot about them.
Right.
So I learned a lot about photography through selling them, selling cameras, which is kind of funny.
And pardon the pun, but like just exposure to the camera itself and to the industry.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And, you know, to other people's work. And I think you learn a lot by watching people what they do and do their craft, because just like you were exploring as a kid and as an artist or budding artist, as an aspiring artist, they're constantly exploring in their craft and learning new things. And it's just kind of funny how as an artist, you're just consistently growing. You never hit that cap where you're done, I don't think.
No, definitely not. One of the reasons that I've took on this project of the multiple image photography is because I made a point not to share any of these images through Facebook or Instagram, because in the art world now, we just devour images. Yeah. We scroll, we might like something, but then we just like scroll past it and it doesn't really stick with us for very long. So these, I really just wanted people to experience in the real world. I wanted them to be on a wall and for people to see.
Sure.
And also I think photography, people question whether or not it's a actual art form. I didn't want to go take pictures of the swamp in Louisiana, which so many people have done and have done really well. I mean, Julia Sims, Johnny Chauvin even has some great stuff. Mm-hmm. I wanted to bring a different perspective to photography of Louisiana.
Sure.
And so that's why this process was the route I took.
So what's your opinion about what social media does to the art of photography? I mean, you're right. You kind of touched on that for a second, that we do just devour images and people are creating so much what they're calling content. And in some cases, it's just candid, cute things that they've found, and in other cases it's truly artistic, and we treat them the same, you know. We treat them the same as we would if we flip through our old photo books from our parents' house or a magazine, or, you know, and the two photographs took so much, you know, it's a different process. And so what do you think is happening to photography because of social media? Where are we going?
I think in the beginning it was great exposure. It was a great way to have people from wherever see your work, great way to advertise. And now I think it's a cacophony of people sharing photos and sharing their artwork. And there's tons of people out there that are incredibly talented. And I think a lot of it gets lost in the sound, I suppose.
Sure.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where it goes. TikTok is the new big thing, and I have refused to download or join TikTok, but maybe I need to. Maybe I need to get with the.
And that's videos. That's your other craft.
Yeah, that's videos. Yeah, but there are a lot of photographers on there as well that kind of they really, I think, more show behind the scenes of their photography.
Yeah.
Than the photos themselves.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens next, and you know, with cameras on phones that are so have so many more capabilities than they used to. I mean, you and I remember a day when phones didn't have cameras.
Yeah.
having a camera in your pocket all the time is, you know, fairly new in the grand scheme of things. And so what happens to photography next is going to be very, very interesting, and to videography as well, and where we consume this art form, how we consume the art form and how available it is to us is just changing so dramatically. Yeah.
And the value that we place on art and artists, yeah, I think, is what's changing as well.
Absolutely.
But to be honest, when I went to college, I was pursuing writing. And so photography really took a backseat. I really didn't take that many pictures during college. But then once Instagram kind of blew up a little bit more, I started taking pictures with my phone. Mm-hmm. And that's really what got me back into loving photography, was that I had this camera in my pocket, and right. I could take a photo whenever I wanted to.
This bittersweet relationship we have with social media, yeah. right? It inspires us and it makes us sick at the same time.
Oh yeah. I mean, I lose sleep over the idea of Instagram sometimes.
And so that kind of reignited this idea that, hey, you know, I'm a photographer as well as a writer for you. Is that what happened there?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So I read in your bio that, I thought this was funny, that your teacher, your favorite teacher, Mrs. Summers, called you a dreamer. How old were you then?
So that was in high school. And I put a little spin on that because it was during a parent teacher conference, and she probably actually called me a daydreamer. I don't know that it was necessarily a compliment.
Right? I was going to ask you that. Is she like foreshadowing something into your future and saying, hey, this guy's got something and he's going to create once he gets to the point where he can craft? Or is he saying he's just not paying attention?
It was a little bit of both, I think. Gotcha. She was very encouraging. And she was an English teacher for a long time, but then she took over the speech class. And so she was encouraging and acting and everything. And she was very encouraging to me. I think that definitely she was really what it was. She was comparing me and my sister because she had my sister previously. And my sister was a very good student and probably paid attention very much in class. And I was not a great student. But I still feel that he likes to look out the window and dream. I think that was still a compliment. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you still daydream?
I do. I don't have as much time anymore. But absolutely. I think we all have our moments.
Is that part of your creative process?
I do get lost in thought of I find myself driving and searching for my next photo, mm-hmm. the next image that I'm going to piece together.
Are you that guy that swerves off the side of the road to take the picture? Or
I have.
Is it planning?
I have stopped on the side of the road to take some. actually, some of the ones in the show are actually from the I-55 bridge.
Okay.
Which is kind of scary sometimes. Yeah. I try not to go when it's rush hour. But standing on the side of the bridge with cars zooming by while I'm trying to take pictures is a little unnerving. But
right. Well, it makes the process even that more interesting. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk more with Dusty Cooper about his dreams and his work in photography. We'll be back in just a bit on the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast.
Got an idea for a podcast of your own? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record or edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place, and they do the hard work for you. Got an idea for a podcast? Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Thanks for listening to the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. I'm Melissa Griffin, talking today with photographer and videographer Dusty Cooper. So we've been talking a little bit about your history in the arts and a lot of fun little anecdotes, and I appreciate those. We're also talking about your show in the Mezzanine Gallery here at the Hammond Regional Arts Center, January 21st through February 17th. It's an exciting body of work. It's mostly because of that meticulous process that it takes for you to create each piece, and I love the backstory. I love to be able to talk to an artist about what it took to get to that final piece, because a non-artist myself, I know some people who are non-artists don't really understand the process that it takes to create art sometimes. And so they think, oh, they just slap some paint up there. That's so cute. But it really is a process. It's something that you think about. It's something that is planned out often. It's not, I took a snapshot and look how pretty it is. And so we were saying it takes about 40 to 50 images in order to create one of these photographs. And then you stitch them together. And so so the exhibit that we have here is going to be sort of a culmination of some of those, the best work of those printed on metal, which I think is awesome because it'll be nice and shiny and bright. You obviously have a great attention to detail. Is that something that you learned to hone, or was that just part of your personality kind of all along?
Attention to detail is something I definitely had to learn. Since, you know, going back to that anecdote of me being a daydreamer, I think, you know, that was kind of my personality throughout most of my life until I started getting into writing and getting into, you know, being a writer. There's attention to detail. You're agonizing over every word choice and punctuation. And then I was an English instructor at Southeastern for 3 years, you know, going over students' papers and looking at their punctuation as well, that attention to detail. That definitely helped me become more meticulous in mm-hmm. in my work.
And so you studied writing at Southeastern, then you became a teacher, and you were writing what kind of work at that time?
I was writing fiction, short stories. I think like most writers, I had 5 novels in various stages that never saw the light of day. I had quite a few short stories get published in journals around the country, and actually I had one published overseas somewhere. I can't remember. I think maybe over in England. I had a story published over there, and I won an award for one of my stories.
Yes, the R.M. Kinder Award for Realistic Fiction in 2012.
In 2012, that's amazing. Yep. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Congratulations.
I appreciate it. That was actually the last story I had published.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you're like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. Honestly, there was, it's silly, but it is who I am, I guess. The pressure of that award just made me shut down.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't even a big award, but I was just like, I'll never write anything as good as what I just wrote. So,
wow.
So that story was rejected 60 times.
No, it wasn't.
It was rejected 60 times.
And then it won an award.
And then on the 61st, it won an award. So, I don't know. I think that process just kind of, it was so daunting. And
sure.
So,
did you edit it that many times in order to
I didn't
to
edit
resubmit?
It that many times. It probably was rejected about 30 times. And then I went back and revised mm-hmm. and then submitted another 30. And then, yeah.
So, how were you coming up with your story ideas?
So a lot of them were based on myself and the experiences I had. Mm-hmm. Some of them are based in New York, my life in New York. Some are based on experiences I've had here at home. The one that won the award is not about me at all, but it is based on someone I met when I was in Thailand. Mm-hmm. And so the story is based on a Thai child growing up on an island,
wow,
cut off from the rest of the world.
So is there anywhere where we can see your work, read your work?
Absolutely. The R.M. Kinder, that story is called The Small Reflection of Things, and it is in Pleiades. I think it's probably still online. I used to have all my stories on my website, but those have since been removed since photography is my focus now.
But maybe in a few years you'll switch back and
who knows? Yeah, I'm 41 and you know I have another 40 years or so. So
it seems
who
like
knows?
You've been literally dancing around the arts, and I want to talk to you about the dancing too because you've
nice
mentioned
segue.
It like twice, uh-huh. And I want to know what kind of dancing you were doing and when where
we did it all. We were tap, jazz, ballet, modern.
So when did the dancing start?
My poor parents, I always put on shows in our living room, forced them to watch me, you know, basically probably convulse in their living room and call it dancing. But my mom's like, oh, okay, well, let's put him in actual dancing.
Get this boy some training.
Yeah, so at 9, I started at A Touch of Class in Ponchatoula. I was there. First year was just me I really was more of a prop than anything. I did a little bit of tapping, but 2 years later, we started with competition. We had a competition group, and we competed all over Louisiana. And then actually, a couple times we went to Las Vegas to compete.
Wow. So this was like a more serious than every, like an after school activity. Right?
Yeah.
This was becoming.
Yeah, definitely. We.
And how long did you do it?
I was a dancer until right after high school. Actually, my senior year of high school, I dislocated my kneecap and
Ouch.
Had to have surgery. And it was painful to perform. And
sure.
Also, after high school, I kind of just was losing interest and looking for other things in my life. So.
Mm-hmm. And so then a movement to other artistic opportunities like photography and then later writing. Were you always kind of inclined to be a writer, like in high school and stuff? Did you write?
I did. I wrote stories that were knockoffs of Edgar Allan Poe and probably a little bit of Stephen King there.
You call that homage.
Yeah, oh, sure. well, they weren't direct copies, but you know, you could
sure.
go like, oh, I know where you got this from. So, those thankfully were written in notebooks that probably no longer exist.
Right. And that's a really good practice, though. I mean, that's how you hone a skill, right? You see what you like and kind of take from that and then start to create on your own.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's kind of similar to how photography, I think, was working for you. You were watching people.
Yeah.
You were learning from other people and then sort of taking it to your area of expertise and then a place that fits your niche. So there's also marketing thrown into the mix, which is an art form in itself.
So yeah, after 3 years of teaching, I realized it just wasn't for me. And I didn't want to completely waste 5 years of my life getting a bachelor's and then a master's in writing. And so I started pursuing working for a marketing company. And I interned with one for almost a year in Baton Rouge. And then I got a job with Invoke, which is a software company based in Baton Rouge, and they have office here in Hammond. So I actually got hired there as a content writer, and within 3 months, I started segueing my photography and videography passions into the job and really
nice.
Became just a more videographer than anything for Invoke. And then just another 3 years. There's a 3-year pattern, I think, for me through most of my life. After 3 years with Invoke, I wanted to explore more video and more photography. And so I reached out to Antoine, and I've been with them for about eight months now.
Wow. Has it been 8 months already?
It has been, I think, about 7 or 8 months.
Well, and you're enjoying your work there. I know it's very rewarding. You guys work with a lot of different clients from around this area, all like top-notch content and things that you guys are putting out. So I assume you're enjoying it, right?
I absolutely love.
You're smiling in the picture.
I absolutely love Antoine. Jessica and Eddie, the owners, are amazing. The team I work with, they're just, everyone is so incredibly talented, and they give me the opportunity to create really cool videos and some photography too.
That's awesome.
More than anything, I think it's great. We work with clients that we care about and that are part of the community and do things for the community that are really important. We've worked with the Tangible Parish School System for the past 6 months, and we've seen them grow so much. And we work with a few political people. We're not going to work with them unless we believe in what they do and their message. So
it's great to be able to kind of give back in that way and to help people to create a message and to brand their business or their organization and stuff. And, you know, I've done a lot of marketing in my career, but I don't have a degree in marketing either. My degree is in communication with a focus in broadcasting. And so it was funny over time to see how that comes together. You know, the marketing is such a mixture of artistic side, of the English language. How do you craft those words to say the right thing in the most consistent way possible? And it brings together all these different fields of study, I think. And it's a lot of fun, too.
It is a lot of fun. Sometimes I'm working on videos and it doesn't include the rest of the team. But the best ones are the ones where we're all working together.
Sure.
And creating something together. And I love it. I love the team there. And it's been a great experience.
So you also own your own photography and videography business, Dusty Cooper Photography. What type of work are you producing there?
I shoot a lot of senior portraits, which I love. I have a different approach than most portrait photographers, I think. I meet with the student or the people. If I'm doing family portraits, I meet with everybody first. I get to know the people. I get to know their personalities. I get to know the kind of movies they watch, the sports that they're into, or I want to get to know who they are as a person rather than just what they look like.
Right.
And I try to capture that in the photos I take of my clients.
Cool. So you're doing portraits, family portraits or senior portraits. You're also doing videos.
I do some videos. So since I work for Antoine, I don't work with businesses on with videos, but I work with other artists or most specifically, I work with musicians and I create a lot of music videos.
That's a great opportunity for music, for musicians in the area as well, to, you know, because you kind of need that to be a local band. And with what we were saying about social media, you really need all that content and stuff. So that's awesome. Where should somebody go if they want to find your photography and videography business?
DustyCooper.com.
That's easy.
I got very lucky somehow. I got that domain.
DustyCooper.com. Yeah. That's where you find it. And you'll find Dusty Cooper's photography exhibit, Copiosity, here at the Hammond Regional Arts Center upstairs in the Mezzanine Gallery in January and February 2022. Do you have a favorite quote or any message you'd like to leave us with, or a book that we should read?
Oh gosh, my favorite book of all time is Never Let Me Go by Kazuo Ishiguro. I've read it probably 5 times.
So tell us about it a little bit.
Oh gosh, so it is a English novel about clones.
Okay,
but you don't know.
I'm hooked.
You don't know that they're clones until a little into the book, but that doesn't give anything away. So,
okay, gotcha. Thanks so much, Dusty, for being here today. I'm Alyssa Griffin. You've been listening to the Hammond Regional Arts Center podcast. My guest today, Dusty Cooper. Find out more about his work at dustycooper.com. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're inspired by this talk. Have a creative day.